Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
KCMO.
The following is a paid program and does not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of Cumulus Media and FM 103.7 and AM 710 KCMO, Kansas City's most stimulating talk. Percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
Oh man, I'm on homework overload. So many books, so little time. So many events, not enough people to talk about them. Well, actually, there are plenty of people to talk about them. Going to do the Westin ghost tours again this fall. This is, I think, 7 or 8 years? It's been that long? It doesn't seem that way, but the Westin, this is Ghost Tales of Westin, where you have dinner and you talk about the ghost stories and all the haunted houses, haunted places in Westin. It's really fun, and they sell out every year, so we're getting the word out early, because one of the things that this is guaranteed to do is maybe give you a thing or two to think about. People who have in the past gone on these tours have had encounters, little things that they didn't expect. And the one thing is, if you're a skeptic, it helps. I was up there just this weekend talking with Jeff at the Westin Bend Candle Company, and he had been in a place in the middle of the block, and they'd never, ever had any encounters. The person there now is an artist, and she's got the wonderful history of this incredibly beautifully smelling shop, because that's what the candle scent left behind. In the meantime, they're now making a lovely smell on the corner, and I picked up Serendipity and, Milk Mustache, yes. Anyway, they had them outside, so you could smell it. It smelled fabulous. And the deal is, he said, since we've done the tours last time, they've had more encounters. Now, this doesn't go away. This is 24/7. It doesn't have to be Halloween. If you've had any experience with the paranormal stuff, it's just it happens. It doesn't matter what time of day, where you're at. It's one of those things that when you're in a city, a town, a place that is known for these things, then it's just kind of old hat. Every day something happens. Well, he had a cousin who came into the store. He said, this is great, because the cousin's like, oh, this is just a bunch of, you know, right. So he's standing, of course, in the middle of the store when he's decided to even be more vocal about his disbelief and complete, you know, just thought it was completely made up fiction and it does good things to sell candles, but nothing more. And at that point, Jeff said he didn't see it, because he was in the other room, but he heard this big whap. And apparently his cousin was standing right in front of the thing that fell off and rolled over to his feet. Now, he didn't say exactly what the cousin said, but that was the end of the conversation. And the thing that they have learned is to be respectful of the ghosts. I already put a little sheet up saying that this is going to be going on Facebook, but it's October 20th, 21st, 27th, 28th, 4 nights. We've been doing 3, 4 nights now. And the weather changes. Sometimes it's nice and balmy, and other times you're going to need your Eddie Bauer down. Shameless plug. Okay, I work. Okay, there. So, and I can guarantee it. Anyway, especially if we're walking dogs when it's 15 and the dog doesn't know the difference between hot and cold. It's outside, and that's all that matters. My guest tonight writes paranormal stories and also says he experiences lots of weird things. Okay? F.P. Dorshak, Frank, also does the float experience like I do. And so as soon as I saw his blog and how he was talking about his experience, and he did his homework because yesterday he went for float number 8. So we'll be talking about that too, comparing the experiences, because this is another mind shift too, and it opens you up to different awarenesses and experiences. And he writes detailed excerpts about what happened for him the entire thing. I don't do that. I just say, oh, it was cool. Or this happened or that happened. And so he's documenting all of it in very, very nice detail. So I thought, well, that would be worth getting into some of that. Because it is, people leave notes about their experiences and say, this is what happened. And so you kind of get a taste of what it's like for everybody else. My homework that I'm doing, of course, I had to go back over the Ghost Tales of Weston to see what all stores are going to be back on, and just kind of refresher of what all's there. But the candle store, I just had to get candles. And of course, Verna, Main Street Galleria has fudge. And so we got the brownie fudge, which is really good. And it was Cody Lee's birthday, so I just went ahead and brought her in a Baskin-Robbins Happy Clown ice cream. It was this, and it's National Ice Cream Day. Darn, so many ways to celebrate. And earlier I had a caramel shake, so I took the liberty of enjoying myself on Cody's birthday. Cody Lee's like, okay. It was a surprise. All right. I thought it would be a nice way to cool off, especially during a hot show. Beyond the Bermuda Triangle. This is on my reading list. Orb Ducted in the French Quarter. Orb Ducted. Alta and Chad Dillard have an incredible story that goes beyond just the UFO stuff. It kind of kicks off with a massive UFO sighting, and then the paranormal stuff starts to, if anybody has ever been through this, it starts to compound. That's kind of the way that goes. And I've got Bermuda Triangle, Beyond the Bermuda Triangle, Bruce Gernon, and Rob McGregor. These are my preview books that I'm going through right now, and I don't have any dates. Oh, I do have one for Orb Ducted set up, but I've got about six or eight that are at home in the pile of, okay, where do I put this, and how much time do I have to read it? One Voice, Sacred Wisdom. Another one, James Schwartz, and he gets messages from, he's a board-certified hypnotherapist, and he gets messages from people and other beings. And if you wanted to get your answers to, is there parallel lives or reincarnation, stuff like that, then he's trying to solve all that in this one book. Yeah. Just a short list of things that are unsolved. Anyway, so a lot of stuff like that happening. In the news, the cool thing, the multiverse, astronomers may have what they think evidence of parallel universes. And I think they also did a quantum teleportation in the last couple of days. They thought, they knew they had it set up so it would work, and that was successful. So this stuff is mind-boggling. Oh, and the other thing, Doctor Who is a female. The latest, number 13, Doctor Who is going to be a female. Of course, there are some people who will probably not be okay with that, but I think it's cool. So we'll go from there. In the meantime, Frank Dorshak, and I have to pronounce Dorshak or Dorshak, because I didn't ask him when I spoke with him how to pronounce it. So we've got to get that right. And you can follow him on Twitter. You can follow him on his blog or on his page, fpdorchak.com. See, I've pronounced it three or four ways just to cover my bases. And he's coming up next on Wendy's Coffee House.
Kansas City's KCMO.
So many things to catch your attention. What's real? What isn't? Okay, I'm going to ask Frank how to pronounce his last name, so I can just say Frank until then. Okay, Frank, I tried it three or four different ways because I forgot what I found out when I talked to you on the phone.
No problem. Dorshak.
Oh, good. Dorshak. Okay, I know that was in there at least once. Okay, you are paranormal. You love the paranormal, and I got the bio that, you know, since you were 6 years old, you fell in love with the Twilight Zone, and it's been nothing but Twilight Zone, and et cetera ever since, right?
Right. Yeah, I do watch them every time I can.
Okay, so beyond that, how many books have you written now?
I have written 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay.
And I'm working on a short story collection to release in a couple months.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So prolific would be the... And you decided to go independent?
Yeah.
When you first started that?
I did.
Okay.
I tried to go the other way. I had an agent for 5 years, but it didn't work out.
Oh, man. I think the tide has turned on that. I mean, this stuff, from my experience, there's a lot of great stuff out there, and I'm seeing more and more independent publications because of that kind of, stigma. And there's a demand. And I'm glad you're doing what you're doing, because I enjoy, from what I've been reading on your blogs, I enjoy your life, okay? So you don't have to add the paranormal fiction part of it. You just share your stories. I wanted to add one for you. I just saw this. It came up in the news. This is a guy who was in a coma. He had an accident. He was out of the country when he had the accident. 38, he was in a car accident. And they told the family that just to, you know, they would probably have to turn off the feeding tube within 6 to 12 months. So 4 months later, the family's still hanging in there. And so they ask him some questions. And he's like a lifelong Ohio State football fan, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they ask him, because the doctors are saying, you know, the outlook is grim. And so the question was, do you like Michigan? No, twice on his button.
Wow.
No, no. So wherever he is in that coma, he knows, Michigan, no way.
Right.
But I thought you could, you know. That's the coma thing, I think, is another alternate universe, you know, where somebody's he's obviously the body is still here in form, mm-hmm. and that consciousness is checking in saying, yeah, don't you even try that.
Yeah, I mean, you do hear all those stories about how people come back from them and they said they heard things or they went places, and the consciousness really is not really gone. It's just kind of muted in some way.
And I think that's fascinating to me. I mean, that's what the shamanic stuff talks about, is that, you know, we don't know enough about the brain and about consciousness and about our own reality to make a snap judgment that something else is impossible. And this is the kind of stuff that shows us there are a whole lot of possibilities and potentials. I also know that you do float experiences, and you did a homework session yesterday.
Yes, I did.
Cheating.
It was a little less stellar than I was expecting, but that happens now and then.
Well, okay, now let me set this up. If you're listening and you have not experienced the float experience, this is where you go into an isolation experience, that there's nothing else there but you and the water, and it's Epsom salts, so you're floating. You don't sink. You go in, and it depends on the facility. I think you're doing the tank, right? The float tank?
I'm doing the pod. They call them pods.
Okay.
They're like egg-shaped things, and they kind of clamshell open and close. But there's different methods I've heard from different people. Some of them, they have a room, and it's all open.
Yes. Yeah.
In the pod.
Well, my it's a like 8 by 8 foot room, and so, mm-hmm. you know, you don't have that feeling of claustrophobia. It's just a
room. We don't even have it. In the pods, I'm told from people. Well, I've told anecdotally from the owners, mm-hmm. who have talked about people who worried about that claustrophobia, and they said, "Well, no, when they did it, they actually didn't feel that way when they were done with it."
Yeah, and I think that's the first question people have. So that's the first thing to get out of the way is, no, it has nothing to do with that. You go in there and you're in the water, which gives you a feeling of buoyancy, and you're super relaxed anyway. And you also, the massage chair, I've done that on a regular basis for 15 minutes. You had a 30-minute session, so didn't that help?
Well, it's interesting. I think, you know, I wrote on the blog, I think there's a couple reasons why I didn't have a really great one,
mm-hmm.
but one of them, I was wondering if there was maybe too much physical stuff going on with the massaging. You know, it's great, and I almost fell asleep in that session, which I hadn't done before. I think I've used it two other times before.
Yes.
But it just seems like I'm wondering maybe if, you know, it's focusing on too much physical sensation when you do the floating, that you're trying to avoid the physical sensation. You're trying to have an isolated experience that's just involved with consciousness, and you're trying to ignore the body.
Right. See, for me, the 15, see, you did 30 minutes, and for me, the 15 minute is just enough to get me relaxed enough to stop being uptight, stop being stressed. So I automatically, what I do is I'm kind of putting myself in a hypnotic state anyway, and that by the time I go into the float, there's only once when I know I did, I nodded off. I'm like, oh! And I woke myself up, and you know, you shake, and you're in the water, and of course, you know, all of a sudden, you realize you're in the water.
Yeah, right.
And so that time, I knew that I was just exhausted, so I needed the break. But the other times, it's like within maybe the first 2 or 3 minutes, I was out of body and kind of turned around looking at myself, not in a way that I had, you know, the eyes to look literally, mm-hmm. but feeling myself face to face, and that feeling, that sensation of turning around about face, that was really flippy, trippy.
Yeah,
so like,
it got your attention.
Yes. Yeah, so little things like that, they happen, and it's just, you know, you can't manufacture it. You can't, there. You doesn't do you any good to expect it, but when it happens.
Yeah, and, I've had other, when I've done the floats where I've had reorienting, I guess you could say, of a quote-unquote form, a body, that you just feel it, right? There's just, I mean, you actually feel like you're rotating.
Mm-hmm. You just, there's sometimes it can be a little bit disconcerting. There's a dizzy, for me, a dizziness. There was another time, and I've had paranormal experiences, so this was, I was trying to figure out if this was a twitch. I felt a touch on my left arm, and I thought, mm-hmm. okay, maybe, you know, it's like a fly. That would be, no, there are no bugs in there. So I felt that, that could be a twitch. Well, I felt it a second time, and I thought, you know, that's like, well, okay, maybe that's a serious. Then the third time my arm moved. And I got it. Got it. Okay.
Third time's a charm.
Yeah. It was like third time is the clincher. And I've gone into places that were haunted and had my, you know, necklace come off, or even overnight. I've had some experiences that jewelry, I've been told that telepathy thing that does that I could not stop what was going to happen. I thought, okay, fine, you win. See ya, good night. Mm-hmm. I'm done. I woke up and my earrings had been undone, and they were little screw-on posts that I have a difficult time taking on and off myself. So I was just mm-hmm. really impressed that they bothered.
Wow.
To prove a point. So the paranormal stuff for me, that's why I like your stuff, though. You're writing about these things, and then you also experience unusual stuff.
And I have weirder, I was telling the owner yesterday, I go, man, I have weirder stuff happen to me outside of the float. I've lost my ring.
Oh.
And I wrote about it in Sleepwalkers. I actually put it in the book. But I had, this was early on when I had, a couple years after getting married, and I had put my ring, because I can't sleep with it because my hand swells. And then, you know, I wake up and, you can't take it off your finger type thing. So I take it off at night, and I put it in one specific place in a drawer in the bathroom. And I say draw, and I don't say drawer because I'm from Northeast, and, yeah, I've been told that. So draw, live with it. So I put it in the drawer, and I went to get it later in the day, and I couldn't find it. And I took everything out of that drawer, I mean everything, and I physically touched it. If it was in a bag, I took it out of a bag, and I held it up in front of me. It wasn't there. A day later... Uh-huh. I think it's probably 2 days later. I open the drawer to get something else out. I hear this thing fall. I look down. There's the ring.
Oh, that's okay. Okay, you want me to give you a.
And my wife didn't know I put it there.
Yes. Okay. I have just read about this, that when that happens, there's another perspective, that you do a time shift and you've switched to a different dimension. And so if you don't think about it, you can ask for it to come back. And before the psychic could say, oh, that's in a port. They just, you know, they just take it and make it disappear, go, you know, and they may or may not bring it back. But then somebody else said, no, this is us shifting our perspective, our dimension. You come in, you're stressed, you look for something, and it's not there. It's totally gone. When you relax and say, it'll be there, and then it returns, you have shifted your own perspective and the dimension changes. Now that I'm really, really interested in, because that's the first time I've heard somebody say that we're actually doing it by whatever angst that we've brought to the equation, then colors our view and changes our perspective and our reality.
And I think there's a lot to that line of thinking. I think of it in terms of probabilities, but that's exactly what you're talking about here is you're shifting time or whatever, and you're dealing with a different probability. And I don't have an answer for why these shifts happen or why you get involved in other probabilities.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a Venn. I think I look at it as a Venn diagram where things intersect, and you know, depending on what you're intersecting with at the time and what you're oriented toward, that's what you're going to experience. I mean, I've had other things like I'm eating grapes, and the grapes would drop a grape and it just disappeared. I got on my hands and feet looking for it. I mean, where'd it go? Into another dimension, a portal? I don't know. I just know it wasn't there. I looked for it. It wasn't. I saw it drop, and it was gone. It's like, all right, I don't have an answer for that, but it happened, so I'm just acknowledging it.
No, but it happened, so it's another book. It's another book.
Yeah, and I think I actually put something in there in one of my books. But, I include this stuff in the books, as, you know, for the depth and the and to also show people, you know, show people when I talk about it that these are things that actually happened to me. They sound stupid. They could be explained a different way. They could be, but I know what happened. I experienced it, and I can't explain it, but I'm just showing people that if it happens to me, there's stuff that happened to other people, and they shouldn't just readily dismiss it.
Yes, and that's why I talk about it the way I do, too, because part of this is just getting the word out and saying, okay, fine, I don't care if you write me off or not. This happened. Bookmark it. You'll know it if it happens to you or somebody you know, instead of going, oh, impossible. No. The probability is it's just expanded.
Right. There you go, Wendy. Fist bump. Great.
Yay.
Keep fighting the good fight.
Hey. Oh, and this is the deal. If you're listening and you're local, this is my float people. Floating KC, they'll give you a 30% discount if you say you heard it on KCMO. Okay. And this is going to be podcast later. So this is like in perpetuity, apparently.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a good deal. Anyway, but that the thing is, when you first do the float, you do have to acclimate a little bit with the little things in your ears and feeling the water at first and feeling disoriented. But once that first one is out of the way, then you kind of relax. And so it takes three or four. We're going to come back and talk about more. I got to take a quick break. But Frank Dorchak, got it.
Right.
Okay. My guest talking about his books. We're going to talk about a few of his books and what the difference. There's Arrow, Psychic, Voice, Clowns, and coming up, there's a new one that I think is the one you're talking about, Do the Dead Dream?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, yes. So yeah, we're going to get into some of your paranormal explorations.
Weirdness.
And,
yeah.
You know, that'll be fun. So, all right. So if you're listening, stick around. If you miss any of this, check out the website, wendyscoffeehouse.com, because I'll put links and just kind of a summary of what we did talk about. And thank you to all of you who are listening in Japan. I think that is just so cool. We've got a huge audience in Japan. I'm like, yes, I need to travel and I don't have to leave home. More up next. Stick around. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio.
Breaking news around the clock.
Americans are less concerned about being handed a pink slip in the coming year than they have been in at least four decades.
Officials here in South Korea and in the U.S. are both describing the latest missile launch as a failed attempt.
KCMOTalkRadio.com.
Reality check. You're listening to Wendy's Coffee House. Just in case you got lost. You know, you dropped the grape, and it wasn't there. The news break, they were talking about George Romero, and I remember...
Yes, I saw that.
Yes, I'm like, oh my gosh. I remember Tales from the Dark Side.
Yeah.
Tales from the Dark Side, and I was just checking that out. 1983, doesn't seem that long ago, but the summary where they say, man lives in the sunlit world of what he believes to be reality, but there is an unseen by most... An underworld, a place that is just as real, but not as brightly lit. A dark side, but not as brightly lit. It's the dim-lit world.
Dim-lit world. The twilight zone.
Yeah. The dim bulb. Okay. Well, all right. And so when we're doing these kinds of things, and I used to write scary stories in eighth grade, I frightened my teacher so much, I thought it was a slam dunk touchdown. And then I thought, you know... maybe because I started dreaming some of these things, maybe I needed to shift away from the dark side and start focusing in a different direction. But that was when I had a kind of a reality check, because the stuff I was writing, I took it into that dream world, and it got a little bit more intense. That's the dimly lit portion.
Right.
Does this chip, when you're doing this, you know, because you already have enough of the paranormal element going on. Does it shift your dreams, and do you experience things, you think, more as a result?
You know, the funny thing is, when you're talking about you dream this stuff, I don't dream what I'm writing. A writer friend of mine asked, do I have nightmares from some of the stuff I write? And I said, no, actually. And I think it's almost the other way around, is I have the weirdness happen to me.
Yes.
And then I write about it, because the writing I don't feel... really brings on the weirdness. But I think, having said that, everything's related to everything else. So, I mean, there's, if you want to believe in time or no time, because I don't believe in inherent time. I think in the physical reality, we view the segments of moments as a physical linear time, but we can, you know, jump around that depending on how we train ourselves to perceive things that are not inside a standard timeline.
And I believe that.
But I don't think that my writing so much as brings this stuff on. It's just I've always had just weird things happen, you know, like seeing ghosts of animals. I don't know that I've seen ever ghosts of humans, but, you know, that's here nor there.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I've seen, you know, two dead dogs of mine and a cat of mine after they had died. But this stuff has always happened to me, so I can't say, you know, okay, granted, I started writing when I was six, but I didn't write seriously until like 86 or so, where I did it every day.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. You know, I think there's a give and take, but I can't say that one initiates the other. Now, a curious point you mentioned, I cut my teeth on horror, pardon the pun, but I also found that I didn't like focusing on all the horror of the stories.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad once asked me when I had him read something, why do you write this stuff? And it's like, you know, I couldn't answer him. But then I thought about it, and it's like, you know, well, what do I really like about this stuff? And it's the weirdness associated with it. It's not the, you know, rending somebody to pieces. It's the weirdness and the supernatural and the paranormal aspects. So that's when I decided, well, okay, I'm not gonna shy away from a little bit of violence if it's part of the story and necessary, but I don't want to focus on it for 3 years as I'm writing a book.
Right.
I focus on the weirdness, but not the splatterpunk aspect of it.
Okay, so part of it then too, I guess, is when I knew as a kid, I was never afraid of the ghost element. I was more afraid of the psychotic person element because that was uncontrollable. The ghosts, I could get around, and it would be, you know. So that to me was a whole level of scary, and that's what I, you know, in your books, when you add the paranormal element and the crazy nutcase person,
right?
then you've got an issue and you've got problems. But if when I have been doing readings for people and been around people, the more trauma they have in their lives, the more likely they're going to have this paranormal element that's out of control too.
I can see that because it's energy and angst, and it can bring on like poltergeist-like activities or earrings removed from your ears. You know, just because you said that.
Yes.
You know, I don't know that it's really a ghost. I don't know. I can't explain all of it. But I think a lot of it might have to do with the angst of the individual involved.
Well, part of it, because when I've gone in, that particular one, when the earrings were removed.
Well, I didn't mean to apply that
instance.
It was just, I like the mechanics of what you said.
Let me give you that one. I was given a telepathic prompt that they said they were standing beside my bed. And so,
who gave you that?
I don't know who. But
it was just something you picked up.
This is the voice where we are standing beside you. I'm like, okay, I can't see anybody.
Okay.
I can't see anybody. And so immediately I knew when something said it was standing beside me. So I started praying, you know, doing my protection of, you know, raising my vibration, giving myself a higher, basically a higher essence kind of, and that usually works. And they said, you can't stop this. I'm like, and at that point I thought, okay. This is something that's looking for a fight. Something I'm like, fine, I'm going to sleep. Night, see ya. And then the earrings were off in the morning, but it was trying to prove a point. And because I didn't raise the level of, you know, fear for one thing, it's like, all right, you got me. Yep, you're right. I'm in my bed. I'm telling you. I'm saying, thank you, God. Please protect me. You know, blah blah. And you're still saying, whoa, we're here. We're going to play. Yeah. Okay. So that's a different kind of, you do not know, or at least for me, I did not know what I was fighting, what I was up against. I did not know who was challenging me. It could have been another person because some of these out-of-body states are also, some people are able to do these kinds of little tricks, and they're not going to go brag about it. They're just going to show up and say, well, you didn't see that. How psychic are you? Oh, thank you.
Right.
And then the ET.
I believe there's other forms of energy out there that, you know, whether you call them ghosts or whatever, that can do malevolent acts like that. And that gets into another conversation.
Well, yeah, and it didn't go any further. At that point, because of the way I responded, I wasn't fun anymore. You know, there was something about it that I didn't, it was like, okay, fine. Now, these experiences for me, I've been having them, you know, all my life, different kinds of things. So I don't take it as, it's not something I bring on or I invite. It's something that I acknowledge. And so I also acknowledge other people are going to have these things that challenge their reality. And yet you still have to go to work.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Right. Another night, another encounter. But it's the other thing too. When you're writing your books, then you're kind of opening that element. And I've read the reviews, and so people are really entertained, and it's this. That's what I'm saying. I see a lot more need for this. And they were saying during the break when they were talking about George Romero that the Living Dead. I think the quote was, that doesn't only have one footprint, but two footprints. It was something along that line. I'm like, well, that was a really good quote. I'll remember it. And then I totally forgot it.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that quote.
Yeah, well, it was in the news break. Okay, I had 30 seconds to figure it out. Zip! like the grape, it dropped into oblivion, never to be heard from again.
Yeah, that's right. You saw it and it was gone.
It's gone. So I guess my thing is here with you, what do you do for relaxation? Because the float tank thing is, I think, your way of getting away from it instead of getting into it. You're like, okay, how does that work?
Well, yeah, I do, you know, for a while, I think what my wife would argue, I don't know how to relax. I work out, and I try to go out and hike around areas, hike walks, you know, depending available and how much time I have. And I've recently got into some amateur photography, but I also like movies and you know, just reading certain, you know, books and stuff. I don't get to do too much of that because I'm always reading some research material. But I have been reading a couple books that it's been pretty good. And then I try to meditate, you know.
Yeah.
I just try to focus and be more in the moment with where I'm at. And just try to attract, you know, the best life has to offer me, what I have to offer life.
Do you have that intuitive connection where you do feel some of these things too?
Feel which kind of things?
Like
you're doing?
Yeah.
You know, I was going to comment on that earlier. I don't have those kinds of experiences that you describe. I usually have weird things, like I hear someone calling out my name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the dark of my room or something.
Yep.
My wife's not in the house, or she's not in the room.
Okay.
Now I did have something really weird I wrote up involving what I have to call my oversoul. Okay. I was rereading one of Jane Roberts' books. The Oversoul, The Education of Oversoul.
Seven, yes. Oh, okay, yeah, I know that one.
Yeah, I mean, I read all the books years and years ago, but I periodically reread them. And I was reading them one day, and there was a section where Seven was dealing with his Oversoul, and they were joking around about the appearance in the other side of the, you know, curtain.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they want, you know, an Oversoul or someone like him to always appear like a bearded, wise person?
Yes.
And I was just thinking about that. You know, I kind of never really felt like I've actually had, you know, met up with my oversoul in a overly conscious, in-your-face way.
Mm-hmm.
That was what I was thinking as I went to bed. So as I'm trying to fall asleep, and at this point I was having some sleep issues and I wasn't sleeping very well, or it took me a while to go to bed. So I just fall off to sleep when above me I see this bearded face. and it's really intense, and it's coming at me, but not in a mean way, just in an intense, intentful way.
In your
and
face.
Going, no. And I'm saying to myself, no. And I'm saying that because, no, damn it, don't wake me up. I was just freaking falling asleep. And then he comes right up to my forehead, and he thumps me on the forehead, and then backs off. And I'm thinking, well, there you go, man. You wanted to see your oversoul. There was your oversoul.
And you just said your language said you never had a face to face.
I just laughed.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that was okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. See, this is what I think is so fascinating about it, because you can project it, you can intend it, and then something will happen to give you a wake-up call. Wake up and smell the coffee.
Yeah, I mean, there was no malice or anything. It was more like a really intense intent.
Usually,
I got that.
If it's for me, if it's a personal thing, that isn't a part of it. But if it's in an area that has had trauma and has a history of something violent, then there's a different element that's a whole, that's a different story.
And I think we each have our individual makeups of what our energy is and what our predilections are, where our interests are, whether we know them consciously or unconsciously. And I think that plays into how and what people will experience in their lives.
Okay, we're going to take a break. Frank Dorchak is my guest. He's an author, paranormal stuff, fiction paranormal, but there's a little bit of reality, it sounds like, in there. So Do the Dead Dream, we're going to ask you about your short story collection. How's that? Find out what you're working on, what you're not working on, what you're just living and dreaming, and you call it a hobby. Okay, so stick around. More with Frank up next on Wendy's Coffee House.
If we seem a little harsh,
I'm not making excuses.
We're just telling you like it is. Kansas City's KCMO.
Wendy's Coffee House, Talk Radio, KCMO. Thank you for listening. Lots of stuff to grab your attention. The best thing I can say is don't make up your mind until you've given it a chance to sit or maybe talk to a few people. This is the stuff that Frank writes about. Dorchak, the serious stuff. Fiction. Fiction. Serious fiction. Okay. So, Do the Dead Dream. This is the new one that you're working on. It's short stories.
It's a collection, yeah. My first collection.
Okay. Now, does it have little bits and pieces of the former, of the other books in it, too? Because I'm looking at Arrow. That got some good reviews.
Well, I pronounce that one E-R-O.
E-R-O, okay.
Yeah,
like E-L-O. Only E-R-O.
Yeah, it's an acronym. But
okay.
I just wanted to say, you have Japan listening, right?
Yes.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say something here.
Okay.
Hajimemashita Dojo Yoroshiku.
That is not fair.
I'm hoping that says, pleased to meet you. That's the only phrase in Japanese.
For my sake and your sake both, I'm hoping that was correct, okay?
I know it's supposed to be something good, and I hope it doesn't, you know, say something about your cat is eating a canary. But...
I know, like, okay. Well, I just
had that go through my head, and I'm going, I should try that. I've never really had a means to say it.
They will let you know.
In a real-life setting.
They will let you know. What's your email so they can contact you?
I can give you a public email.
Yeah.
It's my initials, Foxtrot Papa, and then my name, Dorchak. So it'd be fpdorchak@fpdorchak.com.
Okay. All right. There you go. That for anybody else, too. This is, since we mentioned ERO, E-R-O.
ERO.
And you said it's an acronym.
Yeah.
Okay. So
for
what's...
Exo-Atmospheric Reconnaissance Organization. It's a totally made-up organization I made up for the books.
That's beautiful.
And that book is semi-autobiographical. There are aspects of my life when I was in the Air Force put in there, but none of the stuff about the weird ETs or anything. I've had no truck with that in real life.
Oh, wow. Well,
that part is all made up, but there's other stuff like the navigator training issues. And I did go through navigator training, and I didn't make it.
And the mysterious lifelong association with herds of deer.
Well, there is some to that. I've hit a couple, and you know, driving
okay.
around, and we do have deer around our house, and
that's not paranormal.
No, it's not paranormal, but there apparently are screen memories that people who have had abductions will see, like owls or deer or whatever. I'll say clowns, just for the heck of it.
Yes,
as masquerading for something else.
Do you watch the TV show People of Earth? Have you
seen that? No, I just came across that.
You got to watch that. That's the deer thing.
I just came across that on your tweet.
On the Twitter,
This is freaking hilarious. So I've got it set to record.
Okay, good. Yeah, it's excellent because they put all the stuff in there. The deer where the guy is going to be a reporter and it's all bogus. It's all fiction. And then all of a sudden this deer appears to him as he's driving his car. He's got the deer
really?
Flashback and
oh,
he knows.
Neat.
Yeah. Okay. So, and it's a fun one. And I think the little preview now is like, you know, yes, I know I've all the symptoms. I'm craving citrus and I have unexpected nosebleeds. I know I have been taken. Okay.
I love that.
Now,
so I'm looking forward to watching that. Yeah,
they're making light of it. Okay. But there is a group, Free Experiencers. This is a group where they do compare these stories and the paranormal element is right up there, you know, just neck and neck, side by side with the UFO stuff. And that's what's fascinating. That's why I said, you know, don't make up your mind until you've listened to a few more stories and done a little bit more.
And I did do a lot of research in that area when I was writing the book. Yeah.
Okay. So, well, that one sounds like worth getting into. Okay. Now, the short stories for people who haven't. Go ahead.
Yeah. The short stories, they're a compilation of the best of what I've written, if that means anything. Over the course of my life, the oldest story I have in there right now was from 1987. It's about killer clowns.
Okay.
But I'm deciding to put another one in. I wrote in high school English class in 78 about vampires.
Ooh.
but they cover the range from just horror to the metaphysical.
Uh-huh.
And one of them, called Tail Gunner, is actually a short story based on a character I created for Sleepwalkers and Psychic.
Okay.
Yeah, the man with no name, or Magic Man.
Oh, and the Psychic looks like that. That was real, real good because it's an action thriller, and you have things that kind of you don't know what reality you're in.
Right, and there's a lot of stuff from my life in there. I think the ring is in that story where I lost the ring.
Okay,
but that deals with the remote viewers and a hotline psychic. And JFK and how they're all kind of interrelated with each other in a weird way.
That's, you know, serendipity. That's how it works.
There you go.
Okay, so if of all your stories, real, true, happen to you stories, what would be the most standout aside from your spirit guide or your guardian
that
angel?
One?
Yeah.
The one, I think the weirdest thing that happened to me that I didn't see but one of my brothers saw was when I was a kid, and I wrote this on the blog too, it's called The Silver Man. I had a large room with stairs going down to another room, and my youngest brother was sleeping down in there. And he woke up once in the middle of the night, and it was a moonlit night, and he looked up, and sitting at the foot of my bed was a Silver Man, and it was looking at me. It just sat there looking at me. And then when my brother saw it, the Silver Man slowly turned his head to look at him, just interestedly, and then just looked back at me. And then he did what all little kids do and pulled the blankets over his head. And when he next pulled the blankets back, it was gone.
Yeah. He wasn't a true reporter because they would have pulled out that notebook and said, okay, 20 questions.
Well, no, he's an actor now. author, Renaissance man.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, yeah. This is the stuff that's fascinating, though. And I've had, when I saw two people standing at the foot of my bed, I was an adult. And about 1991 or 92, I wake up and I hear these voices talking about me. And I'm like, what the heck? And so I'm half awake, half asleep. And I realize I kind of open my eyes halfway and there's two people and they're wearing these long robes and I couldn't see faces. They were just hooded beings. And they had a clipboard with my stuff on it. And so I'm starting.
Ouch.
I'm thinking they're talking about me and they've got a clipboard. They're taking my history and I don't. And so the minute I start really focusing hard to see what they're, and then I hear the words, she's awake. Oh, well, and then they vanish. Like, oh, that was not the moment to wake up.
Right.
But so,
yeah, I had some vaudevillian, is that how you say it?
Yes, vaudevillian.
Top-hatted guys do a little tap dance down the length of my bed one night, in the middle of the night, and then disappeared at the foot of my bed, yeah.
And you remembered it?
Oh, yeah. I think I wrote about that too on the blog.
Okay, so see, you've put some stuff in there. You're just not upfront about it because you know that. All right, you can only talk to me about this stuff.
Right, and let's keep talking about it.
Well, that's the whole point. It's like, why do people not talk about this? It's just so much more interesting than, you know, how much you're going to make next week doing this big job you've got. I don't care. What happened to you last night that blew your mind?
I am finding as I talk to people out in the wild that more and more people are being open about this. I mean, when I did that float the new employee that I was talking with, she was telling me about some of the things she's dealt with. You know, again, this is in the environment
right.
of the weird. But I've gone out and just met other people in you know, different capacities, just out in the wild. And when I start talking about it, they start talking about it.
Yeah, permission.
So, I mean, basically, I don't think there's a person out there that I've brought this stuff up to in the past couple of years who hasn't had a weird story of their own, at least one.
This is so not fair. We have to stop talking now, but we're going to be talking again.
Yeah.
Okay. So bookmark that. We'll have to book this. In the meantime, you're listening, and you got to go get the book. These are the short stories we were talking about that aren't out just yet, but you can check out the website.
Next couple months, right.
Oh, okay. F.P. Dorschak, DORCHAK.com. And is your blog still associated with the...
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do with that, but it's in that website, but there's also at WordPress, but they're both kind of tied.
That's good. We'll link them. We got to get going, but hey, thank you. Keep writing and keep experiencing and include more of that. That's the cool stuff.
Thank you, Wendy, for having me, and thank you, listeners, for listening.
All right. Till next time, stay curious. See ya.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.